Okay, well, praise God. The title of today's message is Carrying Our Loads. Carrying Our Loads. As I was asking the Lord what to share, a scripture reference came to mind, Galatians 6, verse 5, and I didn't even remember what that verse was, but I read it and it says, "For each one should carry his own load." For each one should carry his own load. And I'm like, okay, well, there's probably some more to that. So I backed up and read through the first few verses of chapter 6. And as I did that, I felt like, I mean, I was remembering some things I've thought in the past or heard taught or different things about this passage. And there's probably some truth in all of that. But as I was reading through it, I just felt the Holy Spirit say, no, David, there's more. There's something deeper that I'm wanting to share in this moment. And so I spent some time praying about it and searching the Word. And so I've got a few things that I just want to share about this passage here. Before I do, I just want to start out with prayer here. So Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your life within us. Thank you so much for loving us and drawing us to yourself. Father, open our eyes to see you more clearly. Give us eyes to see who you are and what you have for us to be about. Father, we want to be more like you. We thank you and we praise you. Amen. Okay, so starting here with verse 1 of chapter 6 of Galatians. It says, "Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently." So let's pause on that first phrase there. It says, if someone is caught in sin. Remember reading that word in the past of caught in sin, and you know, the idea, at least in my own mind, was like, oh, ha, I caught you. You're caught in sin. But if you look up the word there that's caught, it means to be like overtaken. And so if we want to use the word caught, I think a better thought would be like to be caught in a net. If someone is caught in the net of sin, if someone is overtaken in sin, then it says, you who are spiritual, restore him. It's very important here. It says, you who are spiritual. Let's remember that we have flesh and we have spirit. And we can respond to others either through our flesh or through our spirit. And the word is saying here, don't respond out of our flesh. Don't go with the natural fleshly response. When we see someone caught in sin, the natural fleshly response is, aha, I caught you. And to look down our nose or to be offended, to take offense at what someone has done to someone else or to ourselves. But the spiritual response is different. The spiritual response is to restore them, bring them back gently, with gentleness. It's not this laughing and pointing fingers and accusing, but it is to come in gentleness that we might restore them. What did Jesus do? Jesus came to reconcile or to restore our relationship with God. And so here in the same way, when we find someone who is overtaken or caught in the net of sin, we are to go with the spiritual response to restore them gently to a relationship with God. Now, the second part of verse 1 goes on. It says, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. And this was another interesting thought that came as I was praying about this, where in the past, I've always read that phrase that says, watch yourself, or you also may be tempted, I always had this thought of, well, you know, you got to be careful because, you know, if you're helping somebody who's in sin, you might fall into that same sin. Like, uh-oh, you know, they're doing this. And if you try to come alongside and help them, you might find yourself in that same sin. And there, I think there's some application there. But I think there's something deeper. And what I felt the Lord saying as I was praying about this, it was, it's not so much that, but you might be tempted to fall into pride. And we're going to see that in a few verses here. But for the moment, I'll just say, you know, there's this temptation. If we see someone caught in sin, there's a temptation to rise up in pride and fall into the sin of pride and start pointing our fingers, looking down our nose, instead of coming with a right spiritual response. So be careful that you don't be tempted, that you don't fall into temptation of pridefully looking down our noses at others who are stumbling in various ways. So verse 2, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. It's interesting that verse 5 that we started with, it says, for each one should carry his own load. Here it says, carry each other's burdens. Well, wait a minute, am I supposed to carry my load or other people's loads? Well, we're to carry each other's burdens. And it says, in this way you fulfill the law of Christ. A couple things in regards to this. In Isaiah 53, let's go ahead and turn there actually. Keep your finger there in Galatians 6. But in Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, it says, surely he, and this is speaking of Jesus, says, surely he took up our infirmities, he carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he, Jesus, was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities, the punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. And so this reality that Jesus, who had every right to come and condemn us because he didn't have sin, and so he had every right to point the finger, but instead, he took our punishments upon him. He bore our sins. He bore our transgressions. He bore our weaknesses and our failings. And instead of reacting to us and condemning us, he forgave us. He bore with our weaknesses. And so may the same heart that was in Christ, may it also be in us, that we might fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Well, there's a lot there. But what did he say? Love God, love your neighbor. And in regards to fulfilling the law of Christ, I just want to read one passage here. This is Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through the end of the chapter. So in Matthew chapter 5, it says, you have heard that it was said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. So we have the Old Testament law. And we have the people's interpretation of that law. And we have it saying, okay, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. If you do this, if I catch you doing this sin, then I'm going to return that same thing back to you. You do this, I'm going to do it back to you. Because that's justice. But what does Jesus say? He says, but I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. If someone forces you to go a mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you and don't turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbors and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Wow. Bearing with one another, returning. Good when evil is done. And that is the law of Christ. That is what Christ calls us to do. So going back to Galatians 6. That we would bear with one another and in this way fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 3 then says, if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So here we go. I think this starts to tie in with this, that verse 1 where it says, be careful that you don't be tempted. Because it can be real easy when we're looking and we see someone caught in sin. Someone who has fallen into sin in some way. It can be very easy to look upon them and think of ourselves more highly than them. And be like, I can't believe they did that. And we start looking down our nose and we start thinking that we are actually something when we are nothing. Say, well, now, wait a minute. I'm not nothing. Well, let's define that. The reality is that apart from Christ, we are nothing. In our flesh, we are nothing. You don't have to turn there, but if you're taking notes, Romans 7 verse 18 reminds us that there's nothing good that lives in our flesh. If we're like, oh yeah, I'm something. Oh, we are nothing. We have nothing to offer. In and of ourselves, again, we won't turn there, but if you're taking notes, John 15, verse 5. It says that apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Apart from the Spirit of God, we have nothing. We dare not puff ourselves up to this place and think that somehow we have something. Apart from God, we have nothing. We have no reason to boast. Other than the cross of Christ, other than the Spirit of God that He has freely given us. We have no right to look at the one who is stumbling and be like, oh yeah, I got it together and you don't. Oh, forget it. If we are thinking that way, then we are deceiving ourselves. It says we're deceiving ourselves if we think that we are somehow higher and better than those around us, then we are deceiving ourselves. We are deceived. The only thing we have is the Spirit of God. That's the only thing we have going for us. And the only way that we received that was not because of anything we did, but simply by believing that God made the way, poured out His Spirit, gave us His Spirit, and now we have the gift of God within us. Verse 4 there, it says, it continues on, it says, each one should test his own actions, then he can take pride in himself. Again, I want to kind of clarify this verse. It says that we should test our own actions. Well, and the reality is, we can't even test our own actions. To test our own actions means to take it to the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, what do you say? Because we can't, in our own carnal minds, we can't figure this out. We don't know right from wrong. We need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need the help of the Word of God that cuts and divides soul from, you know, it discerns right from wrong, God from ungodliness. And then it says, take pride in ourselves. Again, if you're taking notes, 1 Corinthians 1:31, it talks about, you know, if we're going to boast, we need to boast in the Lord. If we're going to boast, boast in the Lord, because we don't have anything. So it's not talking about taking pride in what we have done. But it's boasting in what God has done through us. So it says he can take pride in himself. And then here's this word, without comparing himself to somebody else. For each one should carry his own load. Again, this reality to not be comparing ourselves to each other, but to carry our own load. And I wanted to bring out two thoughts in that. The first is carrying our own load. And this is what I've kind of thought of in the past, where we have different giftings. We have different callings. Again, if you're taking notes, Matthew 25:14-30. It talks about the parable of the talents, where God actually gives different amounts of talents to different people. And you say, well, that's not fair. But there's different giftings, there's different callings, there's different things, and we can start comparing ourselves to one another, and we can get totally thrown off track. We can either rise up in pride, if we feel like we're doing more than somebody else, or we can get all condemned because we feel like we're not doing very much compared to what other people are doing. And we aren't to be living comparing ourselves to one another. We need the Holy Spirit to come before him and say, Holy Spirit, what is it that you have set before us to do? Because we don't rise and fall to those around us. We rise and fall before our Creator. Who are you? What were you created to do? Not what is somebody else created to do. Who are you? But then along with the strengths, we also have the weaknesses. And this was what was coming to mind as I was praying about it here. You know, we can compare ourselves to others. Be like, well, you know, I don't struggle with that. Again, in relation to if someone is caught in sin.
Like, well, yeah, I've never done that sin.
Okay, but we all struggle. We all fall in many ways. And if we say we don't have sin, Scripture says we are liars. If we say, oh, I don't have any problems, we are liars. So we all fall in various ways. And again, dare we compare ourselves? No. No, when someone is caught in a sin, maybe it's not a sin that we ourselves struggle with, but that we could come to that person and restore them to a relationship with God. You see, this is what we are to be about. We are to be those who reconcile other people to God. That God who paid the price for us to be with him. Not to be those going around condemning everybody. Aha, I caught you. I caught you in sin. I caught you.
I can't believe you did that.
No. If anybody, we should be touched with the weaknesses of others as believers. That we acknowledge our own sin, our own need, and the reality that we are, you know, it's, you know, maybe a cliche, but, you know, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all fallen short. And we all need the grace and the forgiveness of God. And so I just feel like the Lord here is offering this invitation again afresh to us. To not walk in the flesh, but to walk in the Spirit, to see ourselves and to see others through the eyes of the Spirit. And that we would fulfill the law of Christ. That we would bear with one another, that we would restore one another rather than kicking one another to the curb. Thinking that we've got it all together and everybody else doesn't have a clue. No. No, let us point one another to Christ. And so this carrying of our loads, can I define it this way? That it is carrying our loads to Christ and allowing Him to carry our loads. You see, it's not really us that should be carrying the load. We should be bringing our loads and the loads of others to Christ that He can carry and bear our loads. May we get our eyes off of ourselves, and may we get our eyes off of one another. And may we fix our eyes on our Father in heaven, who loves us and desires relationship with us. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Here's this invitation to lay aside all the anger and the bitterness and everything that is raging in our, maybe our own hearts and in our nation and in our friends and families and everything that can be going on there. Oh, that we would lay that aside and say, "Father, forgive us, for we really don't know what we're doing. Oh, Father, forgive us, for we don't know what we're doing. We've thought we've been right in our own eyes. We've thought we've known the way, but you are the way. And you say love. Love one another with the same love that we've been loved with. Extend mercy in the same way that we have received your mercy. Father, help us to see you. Help us to receive your love and your mercy. And help us to extend that same love and mercy to all those around us. That we might be delivered from the net, the snare of sin, and be restored to relationship with you, where you say, if we acknowledge our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us. And that's yesterday, and that's today, and that's forever. That every day we walk, we have the opportunity to acknowledge you and come before you. No matter where we've been, no matter what we've done, we have the opportunity to come to you and follow you anew and afresh. Father, I just speak your blood that cleanses us from sin. I speak it over myself, and I speak it over everyone listening to this message, and I speak it in the spirit over those who aren't even hearing this message in the physical. But I say there is a blood that speaks a better word over our sins and the sins of our nation. God did not come to condemn. He came to redeem. His arms are open. Draw near to Him, and He will have mercy on you. May God bless you. May God keep you. May His face shine upon you, and may He give you peace. God bless. And amen.